And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose. I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
It is Tuesday, so that means we are recording a podcast exclusive old school Jalen and Jacoby episode. Of course, we covered Dak Prescott in the other episode that came out today. And of course, we covered the implications of Dak Prescott on Russell Wilson and his standing with the Seahawks. So you can get that on the other episode that came out today. That is the audio from the television. And we'll also have an interview with Clarissa Shields, undefeated, undisputed, two weight class champion. And of course, we get the people they want. Part of that is exclusive content for our podcast. So we have some podcast exclusive with Carissa coming at you right now. We have exclusive podcast only content with the champ, Carissa Shields. So you came on, you know, it's 2021. We're in the pandemic. You had the Zoom. And we had to have like five people spend 10 minutes just arranging all of your championship belts. And you said that wasn't even all of them.
She got so
like,
many.
Where do you keep them? How do you ship them? Like, tell me about the logistics of having too many championship belts.
Well, having too many belts means you have too many suitcases. So it's a good thing that I'm a golden medallion person who flies Delta because I get a few bags free. But I literally have like two or three suitcases just for belts. Because they're so heavy and I'm not going to carry them. Like, each belt weigh at least 7 to 8 pounds. And I think some of them weigh 10, depends on how many diamonds is in them. So they be heavy. So I'll put them in suitcases and I wrap them up in towels so they won't scratch each other. And then when I get home, I put them all in the drawer. The reason, actually, all my drawers are filled with belts now. I just have a lot of belts still in suitcases from my last victory.
That is crazy and well deserved. I noticed that you have a birthday coming up, March 17th. How are you celebrating?
I am so trying to figure that out. Like I'm turning 26. And you know, people don't know, but I've never had an actual vacation in my entire life. Wow. I've been successful and I've done everything. Anytime I've traveled to another country, it was for boxing purposes. So I've never been on a vacation. So I want to go on one, but it's like, time just will not permit because I am also training for my first MMA fight in the middle of June. So I don't want to waste no time because I want to be over prepared for my MMA debut. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do for my birthday, and I don't know.
So I'm glad you talked about the MMA debut again, because when powerful strikers and boxers go into the octagon, the opponent just says, oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to take them down and I'm going to get them on the ground and I'm going to make it into a ground match. How are you going to combat that when you're in the octagon?
Practice. And that's, when I'm at the Jackson Wing gym with the great coaches, we're not working on things that are my strengths. We're working on my weaknesses. And first thing we start working on was my jiu-jitsu, was my kickboxing, was my wrestling. So I've actually been getting really, really good at that and just being able to mix it all together. So when I want to throw a 1-2-3 head kick, I know what to do with my body. And I've been training. So I know if a girl tries to go in there and stand up with me, she's insane. She got an ego problem and she crazy because she never gonna beat me standing straight up. So I know that these girls' game plans to come in there and try to take me down, but I am a super strong athlete. So you can't just take me down as you wish. I've been learning all the techniques on how to stop takedowns, how to sprawl, how to jump behind your back, how to do the chokes. I've been learning everything. So I'm gonna be prepared for everything to make sure that I can have more than one way to win. Cause that's what MMA is, just more than one way to win.
Absolutely. And as a fan of boxing, I've always been fascinated by how do you decide what your ring attire is going to be, what music you play as you enter the ring, what goes into that decision-making process before you do a fight?
I really just think about like what's going on in the world, right? And what I want to give my attention to, or what I want to promote. And I always pick my own colors. So sometimes I've actually wore purple and gold 2 times now. But I've also picked some colors where I'm like, okay, this fight I want to look flashy. This fight I want to look a Mike Tyson look. This fight I want to go for more of the Floyd Mayweather style. So I really go off of, or like if I ever get a chance to fight against a Mexican fighter, I will wear Mexican colors just like Floyd, because I don't know, like he just kind of set the example and he was super trendy. I know one of my outfits look almost identical to Adrian Broner's because I'm like, man, that outfit right there is slick. I want something like that. So my fashion people, they'll look at it like, okay, we're going to hook it up. But, and just the music come with how I want to feel walking out. So for my last fight, I did Beyonce. I was here with the praise dancers. And then after that song went off, I play All I Do Is Win, because that's all I do. Mm. And I was in Flint, so I wanted to make that be known. Like, yeah, she's 17-0, and I'm 10-0. But believe me, all I do is win. So when I came out to that, it just was like, we got the slow stuff going on, and then to get them turned up right before I get in the ring. So that was kind of my thinking behind that.
Listen, I'm going to get ahead of myself here and say that you're going to be very successful when you go to MMA and you're in the octagon. And you are the biggest star in boxing, male and female. Probably one of the biggest stars in both genders. Easily the biggest star in the female boxing.
All facts.
There's another superstar in the octagon that goes by the name of Amanda Nunes, who also had a big win recently. Is that somebody you could potentially see yourself matching up against down the line?
I think it's inevitable for us not to ever get inside the cage together. I think that I have 3 years with the PFL, and as I grow, like, my only thing is to just to get better, get more experience. And I believe within 2.5-3 years that me and Amanda Nunes will be able to get in that cage together, and it'll be a really good fight to where people won't say, oh, you know, she's a black belt in this, and Carissa only boxes. I think that people will actually have something to look forward to, because one, I'm way bigger than her. And then with that, we would have to fight at 45, 55. But also, too, like, I have a lot of athletic attributes. And I know how to fight, period. So I think that me actually learning the MMA, other disciplines, is going to play in my favor. And I think that me and her will have a really good, tough, gruesome fight. But that's the kind of fight that I like. So I will be seeing her in just a few years. But right now, people keep mentioning my name with her because I'm so great in boxing, but I respect MMA and I give her props, but definitely in 2 or 3 years, me and her will be seeing each other inside the cage.
Absolutely. And you're so very talented and so versatile. And there's so many people that look up to you and want to do what you're doing for a living. But sometimes young people don't necessarily know the sacrifices that you have to make in order to be in the position that you're in. So as you started to fall in love with boxing, and now you're the top fighter in the game, what are some of the things that you've had to sacrifice in order for your career to continue to thrive?
I mean, people don't understand, but you gotta sacrifice everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything, as far as then, you know, spending time with your family, you know, spending time with your significant other, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend. Sacrifice food, you know, certain foods you want to eat, dieting, drinking a gallon of water a day, and just really sacrifice all the fun stuff, you know, like the partying, the vacationing, the drinking, all that stuff. You really got to sacrifice it and give 100% to your craft in order to be great. And everybody wants to be great, you know, but I think it just really takes a lot of mental focus, and you gotta have peace in doing all of this. So many different people that can, so many outside influences, right? Everybody think you gotta have the chain. Everybody think you gotta have the money, right? You gotta walk around flash money all the time. That's what people think, but it's like, really, when you start being successful, you don't want everybody to even know you got money for real. You really wanna start investing and saving and, you know, planning for your future family. And that also comes with sacrifices too, to where, hey, you can't go, you know, you can't pay for the $5,000 table in Miami to sit there for 4 hours just to be the most popping club. Sometimes you gotta be like, well, I'm gonna sit with the regular crowd today.
And there's a lot of sacrifices that that's me just coming with it. But the thing that I hate sacrificing the most is spending time with my family and with my significant other. I don't mind sacrificing everything else, like the food, you know, the party and the club. And I don't really care about sacrificing that stuff. But I love my family and I love my boyfriend a whole lot. So when I got to sacrifice being away from him and to actually just train and focus, it bothers me.
I got to ask one follow-up question, please, because you brought up your boyfriend. And being around so many fighters, I've learned that going into a fight, you guys practice abstinence at some point or another. How does that work in your relationship?
So, I've always done 6 weeks before a fight. No sex. That's just been me. Even in the amateurs, I did that. It was just like, hey, it is what it is. Now that I'm older, I've reduced it down to 3 to 4 weeks now. But we did that. We did that for this fight. And it was more harder for him than it was for me because I'm used to doing it all the time. And I'm used to going usually 6 weeks, but now I cut down to 3 or 4. So it wasn't too bad. He did very well. And it's always something that I'm worried about in my relationships. Well, not this one, but my previous relationships where I was like, man, you know, guys be out here cheating. They be out here, you know, just doing anything. And I'm like, I'm in training camp, so I don't even care at this point because I know if a guy ever do me wrong, I'm just going to jump him and be out. So I have a great boyfriend. I have a great boyfriend, though, and he respects everything. He looks at the bigger picture like me. So he knows that I'm not sustaining from sex to make him suffer or anything. I'm doing it because I want to have that ferociousness and that tenacity that when I get in there, that I can throw punches like Mike Tyson and hopefully knock a girl out. And I need that in my legs.
Well, we look forward to watching you in your future fights, both in the octagon and the squared circle. And you're always welcome to come back on Jalen and Jacoby anytime. Thank you so much, Coach Clarissa, for coming through.
No problem.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, before we move on, two things I want to mention to you. First, check out Stephen A's World streaming weekdays on ESPN Plus. You can also find the best interviews from Stephen A's World available as a podcast every single Wednesday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts and watch Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus. Also, check out our girl, Mina Kimes, on the Mina Kimes Show. Today, Mina and Field Yates are talking about what else? Dak Prescott's new deal with the Cowboys. Listen to the Mina Kimes Show wherever you get your podcasts. Well, thank Clarissa so much for coming on. Mr. Rose, while we have the time and we're giving the people what they want, I'm going to ask you some halfway point, all-star break kind of questions about the National Basketball Association, because this is the time of year when a lot of names come out. And I'm going to talk to you about the Los Angeles Lakers, Mr. Rose.
Yes, sir.
Blake Griffin was rumored. He's on the Nets. And the name that keeps popping up in association with the Lakers is Andre Drummond. Now, you watched Drummond's career when he was in Detroit. What do you think about that fit and the feasibility of that happening? And will the Cavs buy him out?
And I don't judge people if they choose not to be charitable in towns that they play in. I learned that, you know, special people are philanthropic, that are willing to spend their time and energy for others when they're not getting paid. And the one thing I want to make sure I say about Andre Drummond and his mother, I love both of them, how they put on for the city. Same with Ndamukong Suh, same with Darius Slay. Like, there are a few people that stand out. Nate Burleson, when he played there. And the one thing I'll let you know, Jacoby, the work we doing at JRLA, he supported us when he was a member of the Pistons. His mom, Christine, and he still support the school, even though he doesn't play for the Pistons.
It's amazing.
That's love. He has great ball skills. Like, if you don't get a chance to watch him up close, you will think that his game is kind of like DeAndre Jordan, more catch lobs, run the floor, block shots type of big. But he's actually a skill big that could do dribble handoffs, could do backdoor bounce passes. He has good hands and good feet. And he's in a unique spot because adding him to a team like the Lakers gives them that threat that they got from JaVale and Dwight the last couple of years. But he has more ball skills than both of those guys. Now, both of those guys, however, are better shot blockers and defenders at the rim. But if he's not required to be your leading scorer, which clearly in LA he's not going to be, now he can focus his energy more on not only playing defense, but he's arguably the best rebounder in the entire NBA. And you can play great defense, but the possession ain't over until somebody grab that thing off the backboard. And the one thing about him, he'll clean them backboards. So that had to be a great pickup for the Lakers if they're able to get him on their squad.
So if you look at the Lakers front court, you've got one of the best in the league, Anthony Davis. And then you've got Montrezl Harrell. And you've also got Marc Gasol, who is sort of one of those ball skill bigs that you were mentioning with Drummond. Where does Drummond fit in there? Doesn't that seem to be like a little log jam, a little busy for someone like Drummond to find enough minutes to be happy in Los Angeles?
Absolutely. And I feel like you left somebody out. You left out Morris, who's also playing minutes up front. And here's how it works, Jacoby. We're going to use all of these bodies to get us through the regular season. So when AD's in and out of the lineup, eventually we got to reduce LeBron's minutes. We need those guys to play regular season minutes. So mark my words, players like Montrezl Harrell, they're going to get a lot more minutes in the regular season than they get in the postseason. That's going to be the difference.
Well, it was Montrezl Harrell's minutes. Is Montrezl Harrell's minutes that was such an important piece of the Clippers losing last year and Doc's mishandling of him and him being unhappy and then him leaving the franchise. So, we've been down that road before with Trez. I think it's just going to be a lot of – because they've got versatility with those five people that we mentioned, right? Morris, Trez, Gasol, Drummond, Davis. They all bring something else to the table, which can help when you're in the West and you can go against teams that are some smaller and some bigger. Some have Jokic and some have Gobert, different styles of bigs.
Yep.
So they've kind of got something to throw at everybody. It's like having a four-pitch pitcher. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well said.
Mr. Rose, the Suns are currently ahead of the Lakers in the Western Conference, playing great basketball. My question for you is this something that will sustain itself, that 1, 2, or 3 seed in the West as we head into the playoffs?
Probably not top 3 seed, but I feel like top 4 or 5, because those teams are going to be separated by 1 or 2 games. And when you break down the Suns, it starts initially with James Jones' decision-making and his ability to let a player like T.J. Warren go, who blew up in the bubble. And then you get criticized for moves like that until people see the next move. And the next move was to bring in Chris Paul, to bring in Crowder, to allow Bridges to develop on the wing, a shot-making wing. Also, Johnson. Cam, I love him so much. Like, he's one of those players, like, I wish he was on the Pistons. I love him. And so you put those two young guys with Ayton, who's so very talented, the number one overall pick. And then you have Devin Booker, who's already proven as a young player that he could get buckets with the best of them. He had like 70 in the game, and it seems like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still in his mid-20s.
How many playoff games has Devin Booker played in?
I believe the Suns, depending on the matchup, have a legitimate opportunity to advance past the first round. But with the wrong matchup, they'll get bounced in the first round.
I want to see playoff book. I want to see what happens there. You know, because it's a different game. Things slow down. You see the same team night after night.
Yeah.
And some players rise to the occasion and some players don't. And I think that Book is someone that I would be very, very excited to see in the playoffs. And we will see that this year. I really like the Suns. I really like the Suns a lot this year. They've been one of the biggest surprises. And Mr. Rose, going to the Eastern Conference.
Now I'm going to show you how the East Coast rocks.
The Celtics got to do something. They got to do something, right? They got to do something. They don't really make a lot of midseason trades. They'll be looking at the buyout market. Who are some players or a player or something that could help these Celtics turn this around?
JaVale McGee, Andre Drummond. The Celtics need productive height. And I know Time Lord can catch lobs and block shots, the young fella. And he's going to be able to give you quality minutes. And Daniel Tice can make threes, but he's a reluctant scorer. And he's not going to be, you know, much of a threat. And so, to me, that's where they've always had the opportunity to cash their chips in and get an all-star caliber big man. And the geometry of the court ain't going to change and of their lineup. We all know four people that's going to be out there when they're healthy. Kemba, Smart, Tatum, and Brown.
Yep.
That's too short, and it's not physical enough in the playoffs. We saw that with the Miami Heat. Bam was out there looking like Shaq playing against them because they were just too small. And so, to me, they need somebody that can fortify that five spot. They kind of have at the five what the Clippers have at the point. When I look at their team and just wish all of their big skills equaled one player, that's how I feel about the Celtics big, five spot in particular.
Jalen, we're very close to the anniversary of the passing of Christopher Wallace, Biggie Smalls. Still no statue outside of Barclays. We've been talking about it for years. But there's a Netflix documentary I got a story to tell. I have yet to see this film. I'm saving it for a special occasion. Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it, but I'm binge watching today and tomorrow because I need to see Fred Hampton movie. I need to see Coming to America 2. And I also need to see I Got a Story to Tell. I was initially going to be traveling today. So I like to try to check out the new movies or listening to the new tunes when I'm jumping in and out of cars and walking in and out of the airport and jumping on and off the plane. It'll give me a chance to really digest it when I'm sitting still and not necessarily fielding calls or using the phone. And so I'm definitely going to check it out. Biggie's a legend. And I was thinking about him actually yesterday because one of my favorite songs right now is Deep Reverence, and it's Big Sean and Nipsey Hussle. And Notorious Big had one of those things to me. When he was young, he sounded older than he was.
Yep.
I always pay attention to that trait. Like Ja Morant has that. AI had that. Well, guys, when I listen to them speak, it sounds like they're older than they are. And Nipsey Hussle had that. Nipsey Hussle, you hear his interviews when he's like under 25, sounding like he's over 45. That's what Biggie had also. That's why his bars was crazy and his range was outstanding. So I can't wait to check it out. We definitely got to break it down on the show.
I can't wait to check that out either. There was a Tupac and Biggie documentary that was released, and I was so excited to watch it. And I pushed play. And you ever watch a documentary and the director just puts himself all up in the documentary, makes the story about
all
him making
the
film?
Video.
And I was watching this. It's an English dude. Like, no shots at English people. I mean, they can tell stories too.
Right.
But it just felt so like, it felt so like, dude, this is not about Biggie and Tupac. This is about you making a movie. And I remember I've watched the whole thing because I love the Biggie and Tupac. I love their music. I love that story. And I was just like, man, this is just wrong. I hope they do this right. And it seems by all accounts that this Biggie documentary is doing it right. And I'm very excited to watch that. Now, Jalen, I've got a very serious topic I want to discuss with you. But for some reason, I find it very funny, right? And sometimes things like that happen that are just like so bad that they make me laugh, right? And I'm talking about, I'm sure you've seen it, we've all seen it, this dude, the former CEO of Papa John's, John Shatner, is on whatever that OAN network, America, whatever, you know that one America, whatever it is. And he said that He's been trying to not use the N-word that he once used on a conference call, which led to him losing his job. He's been trying to scrub it from his vocabulary for 2 years. Now, Jalen, you famously just decided to cold turkey stop cursing, right? Correct. How long did that take you to scrub those bad words from your vocabulary?
Not only did I stop cursing, as a member of the Bulls, I gave it up for Lent, probably like the 2000s, early 2002, 2003, when I saw myself on video. And, you know, I'm at work. So, of course, I'm yelling at the refs. I'm yelling at teammates. I'm doing everything Rafe Austin said that I do. And especially if my team is losing. And so I was looking at the footage of that. And I had my newborn daughter, 2-3 years old, sitting on the front row. And I was like, I don't like the way that look. You know what I'm saying? I'm allowing this situation, being the worst team in the league that I got traded to now affect my character, my court generalship. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided I was going to not only stop cursing, but I was going to stop using the N-word, because in high school, I'm around people that look like me in the city of Detroit 99% of the time. In college, of course, I'm on a major college campus, but in theory, I can be insulated if I need to be around my teammates, the Fab Five. You know what I'm saying? The most unique group of people that move like one. But when I got to the league and my friends, Riz and K9 and Tez, and we buy a house, I buy a house in Inglewood, California, and we got a place. I got a place in LA, and we at the mall, Century City, and the Beverly Center, and we running into Holly Berry. We took a picture with her. Well, they took a picture with her. The one thing I realized is that we was throwing that N-word around in front of a lot of white people. And I was like, okay. I thought that felt awkward. And so in my mind, if I don't want them to say it, I shouldn't flagrantly say it in front of them and or call them that, because blacks call whites the N-word too. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, the N-word is the last word a lot of times we hear, whether it's violence against each other or violence from our oppressor. And so if you're really serious about cleansing your vocabulary, Papa John, for me, if it affected his bottom line, like seriously, like they would take his name off the pizza establishment, then he'd be able to stop quick. Like Dan Snyder changed that name quick, didn't he? You talked about how this show over the years, we were saying Washington football team for almost 10 years before they changed the name. We know why he changed the name, because it affected his bottom line. So since it seems to not truly affect his bottom line, he can make a mockery out of it by saying it's taking him all of these weeks and months to cleanse his vocabulary of those words. When A, we would want to know, why are you using the word anyway? And then B, you know, if you were serious about doing it, it wouldn't take that much time. So it's a mockery to me, but I am not mad at him. I am not mad at him. I hope everybody knows that I'm a fair-minded human being. And I like to know where people stand. I prefer dogs over cats, because cats to me are sneaky. Dogs, I know where they're coming from. And with him, as long as he let me know where he's coming from, I gotta respect it, not necessarily try to change him. But I would implore him to not run up on the wrong person that looked like me using that word, because that might not go.
I find it flabbergasting that, I didn't even use that word right, but whatever, that he must have used it so often. It must have been so ingrained in his vernacular that it takes him almost 2 years, and it's like still something that he's working on. I just find it, it's wild.
Like an addiction.
It seems like he's going to meetings, like he's at like a program where he has to go to, like, you know, NA, where he has to go there and say, hi, my name is Papa John, and I'm racist, and I've been working on this for years. Jalen, there's something that happened while the All-Star game was on. All-Star game is on, I'm watching in the bedroom, and then the aunties and my wife are watching the Meghan Markle Prince Harry Oprah interview. I'm guessing that you're probably more of an All-Star Game watcher, but did you get to watch any of the Meghan Markle Prince Harry interview?
I did not watch it. I know highlights of it. I've seen clips about it. I'm going to watch it. But from what I know and what I've read and seen, I'm not surprised that people still look at Black people as being inferior, so much to the point that you don't even want a Black child born into the royal family. And you're talking about the skin color of the baby and how they're treating Meghan. And she said she was dealing with depression and was suicidal. And we all know what Princess Diana went through with not only the media, the paparazzi, but her own personal struggles and issues with, you know, being compressed in a lot of ways in that life. And people from the outside looking in think money always buys happiness. And they'll say, well, they got so much money, you know, they should just find a way to make it work type of thing. But that doesn't buy integrity. And that doesn't buy humanity. And those are the basic things that it seems to me that they had stripped from them based on the fact that they were a part of the royal family. And then lastly, because I want to hear what you got to say about it, I applaud the prince. Because imagine, you're the heir to the throne and you love who you love. And you have the courage of your convictions to leave all of that with your bride because you fear the worst may happen, like it ended up with your mom, and you moved to the United States. And they stripped you of all of your security, all of your titles, and he ends up staying at Tyler, they end up staying at Tyler Perry's house while he's giving them security. And so I'm glad that they're landing in a happier place, and I think this story is going to continue to improve.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things, like you said, that people think money buys happiness and people think, wow, you're a princess. Like, looking at Meghan's point of view, you're a princess, you married a prince. How can you complain about the things that come with that? You know you're getting into. But at the same time, like, if you're unhappy, you're just unhappy. You know, you can be the richest, most successful, most famous person in the world, but when you look in the mirror, when you lie your head down in bed at night and you're unhappy, then that's something you need to work on, something you need to fix. And I applaud them for doing so. And I think that as the world changes around the royal family is going to have to change too. Clearly, they're stuck in a different era in so many different ways, in more ways than one. And one thing I found interesting is they're like, what am I going to do? I'm going to move to LA. I'm going to start up a podcast. I'm going to try to make documentaries. It's like so now hustle. basically like hustle. The prince and princess are like looking for our jobs.
You know they what I mean? Hustle.
If Barack Obama got a podcast, the princess got a podcast.
Yeah, man.
Like, it seems like, you know, everyone's just money scheme is get a podcast, man. How come I'm not making money off of this?
I blame you. I blame Bill Simmons and Grantland. I blame y'all. Don't be looking around. I blame you. You a part of it. You have started something that has become a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate, and now people can just download stuff on Apple and Spotify. They don't realize when we first started, that was not an option. Not an option.
Jalen, we always say we get the people they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. We want you to be a part of this podcast, especially on the podcast exclusive. Some of the best content that we've ever done has been questions or advice needed from you, our listeners. So call 985-80-JALEN, and we will help as much as we can. And Jalen, I have one of my favorite types of voicemails today. I heard that one of them is a follow-up to a previous voicemail. I love the follow-up. Let's see what we got.
What up, Jalen? What up, Jacoby? Shout out, Reg. It's your boy, Bedbug. Back to update y'all on my uninvited guest situation and the effect it's having on the love life. So, I'd already had a first treatment before the first time I called. Second treatment happened about a week and a half ago. Specialist told me, give it about a week or so. If I didn't see any new bites, that'd likely be good. So me and the young lady go out a couple Fridays ago. We meet up in my hood. We got dinner at a restaurant we both wanted to try for a while. After dinner, we walk to a park that's on the water, and we partake in some medicinal. Things get a little hot and heavy. We walk back towards my place. She tells me she's kind of cold. Ask her if she wants to come up. She says she'd love to. Moment of truth here, boys. I ended up following Jacoby's advice. Sorry, Jalen. Not that your advice is bad, but I felt like the right thing to do. Also, it was going to be really hard to explain why all my clothes were in plastic bags in the corner of my new apartment. As you can guess, she declined, but being honest paid off. She was very understanding of the situation, didn't give me a hard time about it at all. Keep giving the people what they want. Peace.
Bedbug is back. Wow.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
Wow, wow.
Yes.
There's one detail about that story that I love so much.
Yes.
After the medicinal and after the walk, they're walking towards his house. And what does she say? She says she's kind of cold. Now, listen, that to me sounds like I'm kind of cold. We're outside. You wouldn't happen to know of a place that we could go that's inside, do you? Great move from her. Great passive aggressive, let's get it done move from her with the kind of cold. However, he admitted to the bed bug problem. They did not go up into his apartment. So, Mr. Rose, what do you think about the way bed bug handled the bed bugs?
Respectfully, I appreciate the fact that he told the truth. There's always honor even amongst thieves. And I didn't know that all of this stuff was in trash bags all around the house.
Yeah, that's a detail that you need to explain.
Right? I said, don't take her into the room. If you live by yourself, if you can get hot and steamy outside by the water, I'm pretty sure you can get hot and steamy in your living room, dining room, kitchen as well without necessarily going into the room. Right? So here's what I'll say. Also, when she said she was cold, that was his LL moment too. To lay down my jacket so you can walk over a puddle to see how he was gonna be. Is he gonna cuddle her? It's like it was that too, along with what you said. But in summary, long term, taking your advice and what I said is gonna work for you, Bedbug. And congratulations, definitely, for telling the truth. And hopefully y'all have a happy, prosperous future and you keep calling back. But I gotta actually tell you something. You didn't score. Like, you're celebrating like you scored. You didn't score. Like, you hit a double. You know what I'm saying? But you ain't hit a triple. You definitely ain't hit a home run. And so you still got work to do, because here's another thing I'm going to teach you about relationships. You might not be the only number in her phone.
Probably the only one that has bed bugs.
you might not be the only number.
Here's what I always like to think about in these situations. What does she tell her best homegirl after three glasses of wine? She's be like, look, bed bug is handsome. We had a great time at the restaurant. The conversation was flowing. I didn't know if he smoked or not, but then he broke it out. That was perfect. The little dessert on the water. We started making out a little bit, and then we were going to go to his house, but we didn't. And homegirl's like, why didn't you? And she's like, he has a bed bug problem, and I didn't feel comfortable going inside. Because now his nickname is not just bed bug on the Jalen and Jacoby podcast, because her and her friends are calling you bed bug too. Doesn't mean it's a done deal, but just know that she didn't forget about the bed bug problem. It's not a great look. But you're just going to have to continue to get those treatments to get on the other side of this bed bug issue.
And y'all still in the dating phase, so they're going to joke and call you bed bug. And, of course, she accepted it. She was high. Right? She was high.
Here's what's so happening. Oh, Jay, I like
this. One other point, Jacoby. One other point. And anybody listening to this pod that has lived this life, please call and leave a voicemail. We love to kick it with you guys. But I'm just saying, for all you know, when you didn't score, probably text somebody else too.
You know, people call each other love bug. I think you lean into this. You call her bed bug. She calls you bed bug.
No.
You guys laugh about this.
No.
You laugh about this on your wedding day. It's going to be great.
Dog.
I can see it all happening.
Nope. You see how you should listen to Jacoby? He done took your bed bugs to your wedding day. See, I told you not to do it. See, if I was you, you should have went right up in the living room and made a little tent. Like, oh, man, I like hanging out in here.
Yes. Like a fort like my kids.
Exactly. Lay down the blanket.
Exactly.
You should put out a basket, a couple of trays with the drinks on them. That's what you should have did. And then before you know it, you know, one of y'all sitting on the couch and the other one sitting on the floor like Reggie Miller the night he got drafted between each other's legs. You know.
Really we'll appreciate see the call. How it plays out. We got time for one more voicemail. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail.
What up, Jalen and Jacoby? Shout out, Reg. Of course. I have an interesting question to ask you guys. I was talking with my wife, and we were talking about writing a will. We're only 29 years old. So I was wondering, writing a will at a very young age, cultural, regional, or just plain out weird? You're looking out.
Oh, dog. First of all, it is never too early in your life to have a will, never too early to have life insurance, never too early to have a 401k, never too early to start saving. It is never too early to start doing those adult things that you know you're going to have to do at some point in your life. Never too early. And I did this recently, as a matter of fact. We've got three little kids. We're trying to get our life together. We need a will. So, you get a lawyer. And you do it with power of attorney and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, like, you're really just going to be able to decide anything. Like, if I'm incapacitated, you can just make any life decision for me. Like, man, I hope she's not mad that day. And the conversation came down like this. And Jalen, who takes care of our kids if both of us were to tragically pass away?
Wow.
And I'm like, my brother. She's like, my sisters.
Wow.
How do you handle that?
This is personal for me. And thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. And hopefully our talk about donating your organs probably sparked this call. Because while we gonna have a comedy bracket and do fun and silly stuff and laugh and joke and get the people what they want, you know, we still try to be OGs and give you guys game that y'all can take and use, and hopefully we can apply it ourselves. Unfortunately for me, I've had to deal with this recently over the last 3 years because four of the people in my will I lost that fast. My Uncle Paramore, my eldest brother Bill, my grandmother, and my mom. They were all in my will. And so I actually had to press a reset button. It's one of the things that I actually had to do when, you know, I took my social and to protect my mental health trip last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jacoby hit it right between the eyes. It's never too early to do all of those things. And to answer your question, Jacoby, about who gets the kids, if both of you guys feel extremely strong about the fact that each side can do an amazing job, y'all got so many kids, I'm pretty sure y'all can divide up the time and they'll be just fine.
Yeah.
They'll be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, and again, if anybody ever has to deal with this, and I just learned this myself a few months ago, I think it was during the panty, is it's not necessarily the person you put on the piece of paper gets the kids. I learned that the person on the piece of paper sort of decides the fate of the kids, right? So it's still a conversation. So it's not like, oh, okay, all of a sudden we're going to ship the kids up to this address.
The guardian.
Yeah, it's more like
the legal guardian.
Yeah, we've empowered this person to make the decision as to the future, the best well-being of the kids. Not necessarily they're going to be under their roof in perpetuity, which is something that made us both feel a little bit better about where we eventually ended up. I want to thank everyone for calling. I want to thank Larissa Shields for coming on.
The champ is here.
She'll be back, and we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, champ?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.